This is the Byron Bledsoe Podcast, Senior Pastor of C3 Church in Orlando, Florida. Thank you so much for checking out today's message. We hope this word encourages you and inspires you. Let's jump into the message.
Please grab a seat. I got to tell you, nothing energizes me. Nothing gets me more ready than when you dive into worship. Like, it's all, you did a great job. And so we're probably going to be here for a couple hours. But no, I'm kidding. Hey, I do want to congratulate you. I want to congratulate you because in 2024, you have perfect church attendance. You've not missed a Sunday we've met in 2024. So congratulations to you. Great job. Let's keep up the trend. If you are a guest this morning, I want to thank you for hanging out with us. I got to tell you, you're really, really smart because even if I don't know you, what I know is you picked the most amazing people in the world to sit around and to be in church with, so you did a great job. But if you are a guest, I want you to know in the life of C3, you really do matter. That's not just a phrase we have. It's not just a phrase on a T-shirt. We mean it. In fact, your future is our focus, and we're grateful that you're here. As I've been thinking about this Sunday, honestly, for the past few months, and praying through how God would have us begin the year together, a question came to mind, and it's the question that you will answer even if you don't ask it. This question won't be answered with your words, but your life, my life, will answer this question this year. In 2024, what or who will you worship? What or who will you worship? Because how you answer that question in the decisions you make as you roll through your life day by day, week by week, month by month, how you answer that question will determine the quality of your thoughts and the reality of your year. So in 2024, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, new opportunity, new possibilities, who or what will you worship? And you might be here today and you might think, I'm not a worshiper. That's not true. We all, every single one of us, we worship something. The thing that you think about the most often, the thing you desire the most deeply, the thing that you pursue with the most energy, what's most important to you, that's what you worship. We all worship. I think this is in part what explains and the reason that we discover that so many people's lives are so empty. Because we all worship, but a lot of people worship lesser gods. A lot of people worship the God of happiness. A lot of people worship the God of relationships. A lot of people worship the God of financial security. We all worship something, but the problem is, if you're worshiping anything less than Jesus, who is our Savior, you are missing the opportunity to worship the one true God who can change your life this year, even if you're already a follower of Jesus. And I so deeply want this to be the best year that you've ever lived. I really do. In fact, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you. I've been praying specifically for your 2024. Even if I don't know you, God knew, and I knew that God knew ahead of time. God, whoever shows up on that first Sunday, we're back in January, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying for you specifically. And I don't know about you. Do you still do New Year's resolutions? Anybody have a New Year's resolution? Raise your hand real high, loud and proud. You've got a New Year's resolution. You make those things. That's awesome. I'm thrilled for you. I don't do it anymore because I'm a miserable failure at it. But a lot of people still make the New Year's resolutions. Research shows that by the 17th day of the year, 98% of people have forgotten their New Year's resolution. 17 days. If you go to a gym, you know this. I didn't start going to the gym in January. I've been going to the gym. But I know the first 2.5 weeks of January are going to suck pond water. There's going to be a line for every machine. The gyms are crowded. They're packed. People said, oh, this year's going to be different for 17 days. Just give it a couple weeks, and it's going to thin out. And you'll be fine. And it's the same pattern every single year. I don't personally do resolutions anymore. I'm not against it. If you do it, man, I applaud you. I cheer you on. Go crazy. What I do, I started a few years ago, is I begin in the closing months of the year before asking God for a word. What is the word that you want me to focus on in this next year? What is the word that you want me to have at the forefront of my mind and my heart as I roll through a brand new year? And this year it's unique because I really feel like the word that God has given me this year is not just a word for me, but a word for us as a church. The word this year is not just my word of what I'm asking God to do in my life, what I want to focus on in my life, but I think it's a word for C3, for all of us in this year. And the word is transformation. Transformation. Because the longer I live, I'm the guy that has a front row seat to when people's lives collide with horrible things in reality. I get invited to the train wreck moments, the saddest moments, the most turbulent moments, the shocking moments, the moments when we're so numb, it's hard to feel anything. And the longer I live, I'm 50, none of your business, but the longer I live, the more I've become convinced that what we need for this year to be our best year is not just a few tweaks. What we need is more than some improvements in some areas, more than honing our skills or improving our communication. For my life and your life to be everything God created it to be, there must be a transformation. What would your life look like if God did that deep work inside you this year and transformed you into who He created you to be? The life that God set the stage for. What would your relationships look like? What would your financial security look like? How would your career be different? What would change in your parenting if you had kids, or in your dating relationships if you're not married? What would change in your life if God transformed you? If He made you new and did something unexpected in the areas where you've been struggling or avoiding, those areas where we've almost given up, the areas where we've decided, I can't, it won't, it's never going to happen, it's not meant for me. I don't know if you made resolutions, what your resolution is for the year. If you, like me, grab a word for the year, I don't know what your word is. I don't know what your hopes are. I don't know all of them. But I do know one thing that you want this year, because we all want it. One thing you want this year is success. And it might look different in your life than it does in yours. Some of you want success in your career. Some of you are chasing success. If I could just have success in my relationship or my relationships. If I could just have success financially and get out from under this pressure that I feel 24/7. I don't know where it applies to your life exactly based on what you're walking through in life, but I believe every single person in this room wants success in a very real way. It happens to us every January. There's something about this time of the year where at least a little bit of hope is birthed in our lives, and we feel like from December 31st to January 1st, from 2023 to 2024, we feel like, hey, there must be an opportunity now. Something's changed. We've got a clean slate. We've got a fresh start. Let's do this thing better than we did it last time. But I need to tell you that I believe God wants me to tell you and me and let us know for that to happen. This year, it's going to require more than an adjustment in your behaviors or a shift in your patterns. It's going to require a transformation. And you and I, we can't transform our lives. We can't do that. We've tried. If we could do it, we would have already done it. Only God can transform our lives, but we can invite God's transformative power into our lives, and Scripture gives us the steps to take. And this is huge because success is a series of steps, not one giant leap. I think that's why we fail so often, is how we approach and how we view success. And we think all of a sudden, new year, this area of my life that I've not been able to get control of, this area of my life that I've not been able to get on top of and been able to handle and been able to turn around, all of a sudden it's a new year, I'm going to leap into success. But no. Success is not something you leap into. That's called emotion, and it's not sustainable. Success is a series of decisions, a series of small steps that get you to a destination that you desire. And the first step I'm going to invite you to take today. George Land was hired by NASA to identify geniuses for NASA's program. He developed what he called the Genius Assessment. It measured human creativity. It measured human potential. It took not just IQ, but the potential of what IQ could be in individuals, and it gave an accurate picture of the level of genius of individuals. And here's what's interesting. Mr. Land, in his study, discovered that 98% of children 5 years old tested a genius level. You didn't know you had it in you. 98% test at a genius level. They followed these children, and they tracked them, and when they were 10 years old, they did the study again. And from 5 years old to 10 years old, it went from 98% to 30%. Then they studied 280,000 people with an average age of 31 years old, and they discovered that only 2% tested at a genius level. Something is robbing us of what we're born with. Something is stealing, or at least distracting, from who we were created to be. We're actually born with this extraordinary potential and capacity, but somewhere along the way in life, and it begins at a very young age, but certainly by the time you're around 31, somewhere in life, the genius gets beat out of you. Enough life happens to you that your focus becomes what's happened to you, or how to deal with what's happened to you, or how to overcome what's happened to you. And the moment that becomes our focus, it robs our genius. Then we live our lives admiring the genius of other people, never considering that you were created with genius. It is intrinsically a part of who you were, and can be a part of who you are. So on the first Sunday of us gathering in this brand new year, in this moment, and the moments before today as I've been praying for you, I've been asking God to help you get your genius back. The essence of who you were created to be. When you were a thought in the mind of God, before you ever took your first breath, the life that God, who loves you more than anyone, had laid out for you, the purpose that God had planted deep in your heart and your soul, the essence of who you are, the best life possible, to experience a life of significance, full of success, in the areas that you've struggled in the past or failed, it takes a transformation. So I'm asking God through His divine power to do beyond anything you and I could do. Something not that we work up by emotion, but something that is sent down from heaven that God plants in our heart, in our soul, where He transforms. He does that work from the inside, even in areas we've struggled or failed. And He takes us to the place where we actually live the lives we were created to live. It sounds a bit impossible. It sounds somewhat daunting. It feels impossible because I know me and you know you. It feels impossible because we know 2023 and we know 2022, and you have a history of occasionally having these hopes or these desires or feeling like maybe things are turning a corner now and maybe I'm going to begin to live the life I was created to live. But over and over and over again, something has robbed your genius. Pain has corroded your hope. Delayed gratification because you've never gotten what you've been chasing has caused you to think some people live great lives and others don't, and you're just not in the first category. You're beginning to learn to settle for and be okay with less than. But this year, if God's going to transform my life and help me live the life created me to live, how's he going to do that? Because it just seems impossible. Angie and I had a family home in Texas that I inherited. It's on 3.5 acres with a pond with fish, and I don't fish. I'm not patient enough. But it just was a beautiful piece of land. And that property, we've sold it, but that property, when you walk to the back of the property, there are these southeast Texas pine trees that are over 2 feet wide, just mammoth pine trees. Angie and I have pictures walking by them, huge pine trees. If someone were to hand you an axe and say, I want you to take that tree down, and all you can use is an axe, how do you do that? What we tend to do, it's a brand new year. It's a brand new year. I'm going to leap into success. Somehow, just because it's a new year, it's all going to be different. And I'm going to take that axe and I'm going to go at it. What if I told you that the most strategic way and the most sustaining way to guarantee you'll take that tree down is just 5 swings a day? Not 50. Not 500. We do the 500. It's a new year. If you swing that axe 500 times, you're not going to want to see an axe again. You're not going to go by that tree again. It's going to stand there forever. You will fail. We jump into this audacious, big, bold, it's a new year, I'm changing everything. No. Change happens through small steps. Just 5 swings a day. 5 swings a day, that's sustainable. 5 swings a day, you're not even going to get blisters. 5 swings a day, you can do that, I can do that. And I don't know if it'll take 3 months, I don't know if it'll take 6 months, I don't know if it'll take 2 years, but 5 swings a day, that tree is coming down. Part of our struggle is we make life far more complicated than it needs to be. And because we make it so complicated, we undervalue consistency. The biblical pattern for success has always been consistency. Consistency is not an attribute we admire. If someone were to come up to you and say, hey, I want you to know, out of everybody I know, you are amazing. You have this unique quality. There's just something about you. You're already at that point sitting down and saying to them, I've got an hour. Tell me how you think I'm great. Like, you want to hear this. And if they say, you know, the thing about you, what sets you apart, what blows my mind about you, what really grabs my attention is you're consistent. It's a letdown. Like, who cares? I don't want to be consistent. But we fail to recognize the value of consistency. 5 swings a day gets the tree down. Not 50, not 500. 5 swings a day. And this morning, I want to give you the five things to swing at that will set the stage for God to transform your life. If you really want that to happen this year, five things. And if you pick up and swing these 5 habits every day, you'll be blown away by what God does in and through you this year. The first swing. Now, before I say it, this is going to be insanely predictable. Like, you're not going to do it on your face because you're kind. But when I say this first thing, inside, you're going to roll your eyes. You're going to feel like, of course you would say that. You're a pastor. This is church. Of course. This is so predictable. But we fail to recognize there's often power in predictable. Just because something's predictable, we can become so familiar with it that we miss the opportunity in it because we're so used to it, we don't recognize the genius of it. The first thing, here it is. The first swing. Man, if you want God to transform your life this year, the first swing, spend time with God every day. Told you. Because you're like, okay, of course. I'm not even writing that down. They say that all the time. Spend time with God every day. But I think we neglect this because we're busy trying to figure out how to leap into success. We overestimate what we can do in a day. And we underestimate what can happen in a year. I don't know who's iconic in your life. There's a person that you don't know. Maybe they're a musician. Maybe they're an artist. Maybe they're a celebrity. Maybe they're an actor or actress. I don't know. Maybe they're a politician. I don't know what it is for you. But who is the most iconic person in your life that if you could meet one famous person, this would be it? What if that person were to call you and say, hey, I want to spend some time with you tomorrow? First of all, when you got back up off the floor, you would ask about their schedule and what would work for them, and you would clear anything on your calendar that you needed to. When you hang up that phone, you know the thought that would not occupy your mind? What you would not think is, how am I going to fit this in tomorrow? How am I going to accomplish this? Do you realize? The God of the universe, the creator of the world, wants to spend time with you. We approach life feeling obligated to spend time with God every day because we think about ourselves and not God. When you recognize and begin to understand, this is not just me needing to spend time with God. God wants to spend time with you. It changes everything. Matthew chapter 6. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This year, what are you seeking? Are you chasing the blessings of God, or are you chasing God? Seek first. And when he comes first, and I give him the first part of each day, I spend time with God every day, all the other things have a way of being drawn to that. Something supernatural happens when I spend time with God every day. That word seek means to resort to, or to go in search of, or to look for, or try to acquire, try to gain, to aim at. Seek first God's kingdom. And if the priority of our lives is going to be to seek first God's kingdom, who God is, or as Jesus said in Matthew 22, he said it a different way. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The seeking involves worship. And we talked about it at the end of the year as we wrapped up 2023. We talked about worship. It literally means to assign worth to God. Worship, worship. You've done that this morning just by being here. And God is saying, in our lives, there's nothing worth seeking more than him first. And we're to love him with everything we have and everything we are. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. He will not be your strength and he will not be your shield if you don't spend time with him. It is impossible to be protected by God if I'm not in the presence of God on a regular basis. Because when I'm not in God's presence and I'm not spending time with God, then I make the decisions for my life. And I don't know about you, I have a PhD in stupid. Like, I can mess up my life. I can blow things up. Like, I am above average in that category. It's spending time with God each day where God works in my life and sets the tone and sets the stage. And it's God's transforming power where the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and does something inside me that changes me. And I become who God created me to be rather than who I'm trying to be. With my song, I praise him. Did you know that singing to God is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible? God values when we sing to him. And singing is not all that worship is, but it's certainly a part of it. When you walk in this room and we're singing together, if you're not singing, you're missing out on part of what God wants to do in your life. Over 400 times he says, hey, pay attention to this, notice this, look at this, you need to make sure you're doing this too, make this sure that this is a part of your life. Thank God he doesn't say, and with my excellent song, because I sing really well. He just says, and with my song. You can sing like a mule. It's fine. You can sound like, we can think somebody's slaughtering cattle on your row, but it's fine. You're singing. You're opening your mouth. Think about it. Those of you that are parents that have kids, if your kids spent their entire life and never said to you, I love you, it would impact you. But when your kids look you in the face when they're little, and I can tell you, when your kids look you in the face when they're grown and say, I love you, you're so drawn into them. That's why the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Hey, this year, if you want it to be different, worship's got to be a part of it, putting God first. And part of putting God first every day is making sure that when we have the opportunity, you're using the mouth God gave you to praise him. Spend time with God every day. Number two, second swing. Just five swings a day. Second swing. Discover and develop your gift every day. God has put something inside you that makes you uniquely you. Do you even know you? We live in a world where many people don't know who they are because they spend their lives trying to be somebody else. Have you discovered the gift that God has put in you? Because nothing will make you happier in life, nothing will make you more fulfilled in life than doing what God created you to do. Well, how do I take this swing of the axe if I don't know what that is? Well, in spending time with God every day, part of what I'm doing is saying to God, God, would you show me? Would you show me the gift you've given me? Would you show me your purpose for my life? That is a prayer God will always answer. Not necessarily in a moment. It might be a journey to discover it, but he will answer it. But how do you know? There are three things that you can kind of apply to see if it's an area that you're gifted. Number one, you'll be good at it. You'll actually be good at it. It is a waste of time to develop a gift God never gave you. I could spend the rest of my life taking vocal lessons. I could go to vocal lessons 4 hours a day and try to develop the gift of singing. I am wasting my time. He passed me by on that one. I think he gave me rapping, but not singing. It would be a waste of my time. If you're 5 foot nothing and you want to spend your life trying to learn how to dunk a ball, go ahead, Geronimo, but you're never going to get there. Like, it's not happening. That's not the gift he gave you. And we miss out on this authentic life that God created for us because we spend so much time trying to be somebody else, trying to live somebody else's gift, trying to look like somebody else, trying to adapt to what everybody else wants. Have you ever thought to pause and ask yourself, not what do they want, not what do you want, but God, what do you want? What is the gift you put inside me? And then once you know that, you develop it. How do I know it's my gift? You'll be good at it. Number two, you'll have an opportunity to use it. Doors will open for you. The only doors I've walked through in my life that caused a setback or messed up my life are doors that I kicked open. The doors that God opens, it's always to something incredible. You'll be good at it. You'll have an opportunity to use it. And number three, you'll love to do it. I can honestly say, I love what I do. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't hellacious days. I love what I do. I'm addicted to life change, and God allows me to see that just about every week. I love what I do. I love getting to hang out with you. I'm blown away. I'm blown away that God gave me the gift of being a pastor and communicating. I don't understand it, but man, I want to ride in that lane, and I want to continue to develop it, and I don't ever want to put it on cruise control. And I want God to use me in as many ways as possible. And I'm trying to discover, God, how do I develop my gift? Because all those guys online that y'all listen to, all those pastors, I can't be them. I've got to be who God created me to be. Do you love what you do? Life is way too short not to love what you do. Discover your gift. Stop trying to be somebody else. You'll never be asked by God to be great at a gift you don't have. So stop trying. And when you're not living your life, when you're not being authentically you, we all miss out. Because there's something you bring that God has put inside you that is irreplaceable. The greatest gift you can give the world is to be you, not to be who you think you want to be. It's the second swing. Third swing. Embrace grace every day. Embrace grace every day. How do I do that? I accept it from God and I give it to others. Some of you, this year is not going to be any different if you don't learn to forgive and let somebody off the hook. And for some of you, the person you need to forgive is you. I struggle with forgiving me more than I struggle with forgiving anybody else. You need to embrace the grace of God every day. Jesus, when he died on that cross, he paid for every single sin you would ever commit in your life. And he did that before you were born and committed the very first one. He took care of it all. He shed his blood for all of it. And some of you, you're harder on you than God is. And that's not the life he created you to live. You need to embrace the grace and forgiveness of God and thank him for it every single day. And then you need to offer it to others. If we have been forgiven, hey, if we've been forgiven, there is nobody on earth that it's okay for us not to forgive. The greatest poison you can drink is holding on to something you should forgive. It will change you. You notice as people get older, they either get nicer or mean as hell. Like, have you ever noticed that? Like, I'm not cussing. It's a biblical word, hell. It's a place. Like, mean as hell. Like, have you ever noticed that? I believe the primary thing that creates that is people that spend time with God every day and people that embrace his grace every day and people that learn to, you need to freaking let some stuff go. 2024 is not going to look any different if you carried the bad things that happened in previous years into this year with you. And letting it go doesn't mean it's not valid. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean it wasn't painful. It doesn't mean it was fair. It just means you're going to choose to live in freedom and not let something control you that somebody else did to you. You're going to let the Spirit of God control you, and you're going to live the life he created you to live. God knew before it happened it would happen to you, and you can thank him that he's brought you through it, and he will continue to bring you through it. And every time you relive it, you forgive it, and you let it go, and you develop a practice in your life, just like breathing. Every time it pops in your head, you forgive it. You may have to, every time you relive it, forgive it 1,000 times a day. But as you do that, your default position will become forgiveness. You will live a life that is freer. And here's the amazing thing. Some of you, January the 1st, you stepped on a scale. And you decided, this year I'm losing. But listen to me. The most weight that you can lose will never be physical. It'll always be emotional. You will live a lighter life. You let some stuff go. God is far better at making things right than we are. He knows how to handle that. Embrace grace every day. Fourth swing. Chase giving every day. Chase giving every day. In your time that you spend with God each day, say, God, I'm going to give today. Who can I give to? What can I give? And some of these are easy to figure out. Like as a follower of Jesus, when I get paid, I give financially, the tithe to the local church. But this is beyond financial. This is not just financial because you don't get paid every day. I don't get paid every day. And so this giving can also be time. I'm going to give somebody some time that's valuable. All of our time is valuable, but I'm going to give some time to somebody that has a need. I'm going to give compassion. I'm going to give understanding when somebody loses their flipping mind and goes off on me. I'm going to give. I'm going to give concern. I'm going to give the time of praying for someone. At least once a day, make sure that somebody that walks planet Earth feels like they're more important than you are. How can I give today? I'm going to chase giving every single day. And then the last one, the fifth swing, just five swings a day. Not 50, not 500, five a day. We can all do this. The last one, I'm going to feed gratitude every day. What you feed grows. If you feed entitlement and resentment, it will grow. If you feed gratitude, it will grow. How much time do you spend every day thinking of the things you should be thankful for to a holy God that has blessed us in incredible ways? And you might say, man, I'm not in a season where I can feel that. I'm in a season where there's a lot of pain, a lot of discouragement. I'm going through some stuff, man. You have no idea. Hey, listen to me. You can feed gratitude on the darkest days. Because if you don't, what will grow is resentment and bitterness. And you don't have to be grateful for what you're going through. You can focus on being grateful for a God that's big enough to help see you through it and will walk with you through it. You can focus on a God who can do beyond what you and I can do. Gratitude is not something that falls into people's lives. Gratitude is something you will be intentional about if you're going to experience it. This will be a strategic process where you pause on purpose and you think for a moment, what can I be grateful for today? And can you imagine? Can you, a year from now, do you think your life would be different? If there were at least 365 things you've thought about that you're grateful for, it resets your perspective. It's a swing. I'm asking God to transform your life this year. I'm asking God to transform my life. I'm asking God to transform our church this year and do beyond anything we could ever ask or imagine in our lives and in our church. For the power of God Himself to reside and rest in our lives. But for that to happen, I can't do it for you. You have to decide in 2024, does God come first? Who or what will you worship this year? And listen, no matter how old you are, no matter what's happening in your life, it is not too late to live the life you could have had.
Thank you so much for watching with us this morning. If you would like to be a part of this life-changing movement and give, you can go to giveC3.cc or text C3 Orlando to 77977. And we want to thank you for your faithful generosity. And if you're in Central Florida, please join us Sunday mornings 9:30 or 11 a.m. in person. Have a great week.